Blog Talk Radio.
You Can't Clip My Wings, a powerful show that discusses life and how we live it.
Good evening, good evening. Welcome back to another episode of YCCMW 2020. I am your host, Lita. If you want to call in, 563-999-3576. That is 563-999-3576. As you know, we have been talking about the Mighty Men of Ministries, Inc., Part 3. We've been talking deeply about these four ministers from the South, okay, who live very shady, okay? They have wonderful wives, have beautiful lives when they are preachers, and then they have a whole nother life when they want to be creatures. I'm just saying it like it is. Preachers to creatures, that's what they do, okay? We just finished where they went to Las Vegas and did their thing. Now they're back. We find out that Pastor Garten of Atlanta, his wife is getting strange phone calls, okay? Somebody's calling and telling her she needs to go up to the church and check out what her man's doing. I don't know who this person is. I can't remember who the person is, so I can't tell you. So we're only going to read up to, let's see what I said. I'm going to stop. Hold up, y'all. Hold up. You see where I said I was going to stop. Okay. Give me one second here. I want to make sure that, let's see. Not it. Okay. Hold up, hold up, hold up. Let me see, let me see, let me see. I got all that, got all that. Okay. I think, okay. Yes. Okay. I got where I'm going to stop at. So today, let's go ahead and get into the story real quick here. We got two more pieces to go, two more sections I want to talk about, and then I will move on to something different. Again, Mighty Men of the Ministries, Inc. is my book. You cannot steal from it simply because you'll get in trouble legally, okay? Just letting you know. I ain't got to say nothing. No. All right. So just in case you wanted to steal it, any of my books that you think, well, I told you the first book was unpublished. This one's actually been published, okay? So you can't take it, okay? Just wanted to let you know that. All right, here we go, here we go. Now, I'm going to go over the characters again so you guys can get familiar with the characters real quick here. Okay, we have Reverend Elmer Corton. He's 55, married to Maggie, been married to her for 30 years. They have two grown children. They live in Atlanta. Maggie is a well-known interior designer. He's the pastor of Lift Me Up Ministries. It's a small mega church. He's been in that position for the last 15 years. He's having a sexual affair with Dorita, the secretary, and the youth director. But he wants to be with Katie. Remember, we talked about Katie. And he is the president of the Mighty Men of Ministry, Inc., okay? Let's talk a little bit about Pastor Sean Downing. Sean is 45 years old. He's married to Helena, who's just a housewife. They've been married for 11 years. She has some issues. She loves spending money. She lives in Atlanta. They live in Atlanta, excuse me. And he's the pastor of Benevolent Praise Baptist Church. And he's been, he's been there for 6 years now. And he has a 10-year-old son, okay? Then there's Pastor Cleavon Jordan. You guys get to know these pastors. He's 47. He's married to Sharon Nell. They've been married for 7 years. She is a pediatrician. They live in Birmingham, Alabama. He's the pastor of Praise Him On High Baptist Church. And he's a member, as we said, he's been a member for the last 10 years. of the Mighty Men of Ministries, okay? They have no kids, and he is the one we talked about earlier who is having an affair with the administrator of Lifting Up High Ministries. Then the last but not least, we have Minister Timothy Blair. He's 35, married to Joanne. They've been married for 10 years. She's a banker. They live in Birmingham, Alabama. He is the pastor of Praying Hands Baptist Church. He's been there for 8 years, and he's also a member of the Mighty Men of Ministries. I'm sorry, the Mighty Men of the Ministries, Inc. I'm sorry. I can't even say it. Okay. Anyway, so let's go ahead and get started. Let's get this rolling here. Okay? You ready? All right. She is my sun, moon, and stars. That's the name of this chapter. The limo drove up in front of the condo right at 7. Katie had on her red pantsuit with gold trimming around the bottom of the pants. She wore gold thick cuffs on her wrists, gold sandals. Her hair and makeup was perfect. She grabbed her red overnight bag and walked out to the door and got into the limo. The driver told her they will be there in about an hour. Sit back and relax. That is just what Katie did. She turned on the TV to watch the news. The limo finally came to a stop. She heard the driver come back to help her out. In front of her was this mansion. It was beautiful. It had a circular driveway. In the center, there was a huge, beautiful water fountain. Even though it was dark, the front of the house was lit up. Cleavon met her at the door dressed in a silk lounge pantsuit. His shirt was slightly open, showing off his chest. Katie started to regret what she wanted to do. It only lasted a minute when she saw her father and Deacon Thomas. No, the mission had to be completed. So in her mind, she saw her dad and she saw Deacon Thomas. As you know, Deacon Thomas was the one who molested her, okay? Well, you look great. I'm glad you came. I thought you was going to stand me up. Come on, I wanted to see you. Why would I let this all go to waste? She walked into the entrance. It looked like something out of a magazine. The artwork on the walls, Katie estimated, had to be close to $1 million. This is beautiful. You haven't seen anything yet. A servant came and took her bags. We will have our drinks in the parlor. The servant nodded her head in agreement and walked away. The parlor was another beautiful area. The high ceiling, the crystal chandeliers, the huge fireplace had a fire crackling in it. There was soft music playing. She sat there and took all of this in. Katie could see herself living here, not with him, but by herself. I'm speechless, she said as she sat on the couch next to him. The servant walked in with the drinks on a golden platter. Dinner will be ready about 8. Thank you, Tilda. We have a couple of minutes to play with at least. Let me show you around. They both took a sip of their drinks and he took her on a grand tour. I will be giving you the key to this and your own limo on call whenever you want to come here to get away. What do I have to get away? What do I have to do to get the key? You already have done it, he said, smiling. As they were coming down the stairs, the servant greeted them to let them know dinner was ready. They walked into the dining room, another huge room. The table was set as though more people were supposed to show up. Cleavon saw the look on her face. This is how they always cook. Wait till breakfast. Please feel free to eat until you pass out. What do you do with the leftovers? We give them to the staff. I don't believe in throwing it away. I like that, she said, smiling. He pulled the large out for her. She sat down and put the napkin across her lap. Let's start with a salad. What kind of dressing do you want? I would love some ranch dressing, please. The steak and lobster was delicious. The dessert really hit the spot. After eating, she asked to be excused. She had to lay down and then hit the toilet. She couldn't wait to go to a room where she could burp. So she was trying to be all prissy and prancy, and all she needed to do was okay. There was a knock at the door. It was Tilda. Mr. Jordan told me to bring you this. I will lay it on the bed. I also brought you a pitcher of water. Thank you very much, Tilda. The door shut softly. When Katie finished, she washed her hands and started some water in the tub, undressed, and got in. It was wonderful. The jacuzzi tub felt so good on her body. About an hour later, she got out the tub, drying herself off. She walked back into the huge bedroom, and laying on the bed was an agent provocateur kimono in a beautiful fuchsia silk with matching slip and a pair of pom-pom slippers. Katie thought to herself, this shit is expensive. She dried off, did her ritual, brushed and gargled before leaving the room. The phone rang at first. She hesitated and then picked it up. Hi, did you get my present? It's beautiful. I love it. You don't think you deserve it? How did you know that? I could hear it in your voice. Come, join me in the parlor. Okay, I'll be down. She looked in the full-length mirror at herself again. Her long caramel legs were smooth and silky, pedicure feet as they felt home in the high-heeled pom-pom slippers. She looked at her breasts. They were beautifully shaped. Her eyes landed on her perfectly flat, silky stomach. Katie had to admit to herself she had a great body. She was going to wear her hair up, but since he hadn't seen her with her hair down, she thought it would be a surprise to him. Katie's mother was 3/4 Cherokee and black. She took her hair and her features from her mother and her height and muscle tone from her father. Katie brushed her hair to one side of her shoulder. From her bath and the steam from the water, her curls were coming alive. She would soon have puffy hair, but she didn't care. She put a light tinted lip gloss on, turned out the light, and went down the stairs. Cleavon was sitting on the couch. As she walked into the room, he couldn't believe how beautiful she was. Oh my God, you're gorgeous. Why, thank you. You know, you could have been a model. I was too fat. Guess what I wear? A size. Never mind. She smiled and he wanted to just melt. He felt so lucky that he was sitting here with something as beautiful as she was. He loved the way her curls began to spring out of their straightened state. You never told me if you were ever married. You never asked. I don't volunteer information about myself. Yes, I was married once, but it was briefly, before you asked. I don't like boundaries and restrictions. My God, how could a man let go of something as beautiful as you? You know, everybody thinks that being pretty or beautiful is always a good thing, but sometimes it's not. Every man I meet wants to sleep with me, and most women would love to carve my face. I don't have many friends because both sexes find me intimidating. Do you find me intimidating? Yes, I find you intimidatingly beautiful. You know, I am a pastor, and I've been married 7 years. My wife is a pediatrician, and we have no kids. She wants some now, especially because she's a pediatrician and she's around babies all day. I will tell you this. It sometimes gets stressful, but overall, we get along very well. If she knew you were here with me, I think she would kill both of us. Probably would, he said, laughing, watching her mouth move, her eyes shining, her caramel-colored skin glistening. This turned him on. He wanted to kiss her neck. He wanted to kiss her shoulders, and he definitely wanted to kiss her there. Are you listening to me? Yes, I hear you. Before she knew it, he reached over and gently grabbed her chin and kissed her. He was moaning like a little girl. She didn't pull away. Damn, she had to let him in. It had been a while since a man had touched her. She needed this. She gave in, and she kissed him. He pushed his tongue in her mouth. This heightened the pressure he had to be inside her. He had to taste her. He helped her out of her slip and panties. She sat there in front of him naked. Her skin was as though it was porcelain. He gently started to suck on her breast. Katie was in heaven. It felt so good to feel his cool tongue on her breast and moan softly. He licked her other nipple. She found herself pushing his head closer to her chest. She moaned and then kissed her. He kissed her lightly all the way until he made it to her navel, and he planted kisses on both sides of her hips. She wanted his tongue inside her. She gently pushed his head to her hairless mound. I'm going to stop to that part right there. Okay. You can imagine what happened next. Okay. Cleavon quickly got undressed. Okay. Damn, Katie said. She couldn't keep her eyes off him. He's okay. Okay. So let's go down this part. Okay, you know they're having sex. I'm not going to go deep into that. We're not going to talk about that. Okay, they both fell asleep in each other's arms. Katie's hair was now all over her head. Her curls foot fell in her face. Cleavon woke up first. He smiled down at her, smoothed her hair out of her face, and kissed her forehead. He kissed her nose and then kissed her soft, slightly swollen lips. He then laid his head on her breast. Her body was soft and warm from the lovemaking. When they woke up, the sun was shining through the tall windows. Cleavon got up and looked down at her again. You are beautiful. She said, you are too. They both laughed. She sat up, grabbed her slip and kimono, and she told him she would be back for breakfast. She kissed him on his lips. Katie made it to the bedroom and was excited and confused at the same time. She was having second thoughts about using him. No one had made love to her like that before. Let's see. Cleavon did remember what he said to her. He said that he loved her. That was some good stuff that will make you kill somebody over. He had a wife that he loved dearly, but damn, Katie was something different. He could smell her all over him. He wanted to savor the smell just a little bit longer before he went to take a shower. They both came down for breakfast. Again, the dining room table was like a banquet. They were famished, and they scarfed it down. They went back upstairs to the separate rooms. Katie came back down, dressed in a red pair of high-waisted shorts, showing off her long sculpted legs, a pair of black stiletto sandals. Her tube top showed off her toned arms and her beautiful neck and smooth shoulders. This time she let her hair remain curly. Big spiral curls hung down her face and she brushed them away. Down her face, she brushed them away. You look gorgeous. Thank you. He walked up to her, stood behind her, and draped a Tiffany diamond necklace around her neck. She reached up and touched it. Oh! She walked over to the mirror. Her eyes were big. I love this. Thank you. No, thank you. You don't know what you've done to me. She kissed him deeply on the mouth. He told Tilda that they would be taking lunch in the garden house. They walked out to the garden, talking and making plans to see each other again. Katie wanted to leave him with something to remember her by. When they sat down on the bench in the garden, she straddled his lap and started kissing him madly. She wiggled out her tube top and she let him ravish her. Okay, the garden house was huge and had beautiful flowers growing inside of the entrance. They walked into the living room, another big fireplace, beautifully decorated. I bet you wouldn't guess who did the decorating. Maggie. Yes, she does beautiful work, a gifted woman. She wanted to say more, but she kept that to herself. He gave her the tour of the house, stopping in the kitchen. The kitchen was huge with all commercial stainless steel appliances. You also have a key to this, too. You have a key to the whole area. Cleavon, can I ask you something? Do you think we're playing a dangerous game? Are you having second thoughts about this whole situation? What if we get caught? How would this all end? Why are you asking questions like that? Let us live for the moment. We will deal with all that when we get to that. I believe we will never get caught. Oh, Mr. Optimistic, she said, smiling. They were in the bedroom. He was about to take her from when she told him no. No, we can't do that. I will make love to any way you want, but not from behind. He was puzzled, but he didn't care. He wanted to be inside her, and if he had to play by her rules, he would do just that. He laid her on the bed and put her long legs in the air. Okay, that's the end of that. Okay, we're going to take a little break real quick here, and then we're coming back. Now, remember, 563-999-3576, 563-999-3576. You guys, I just wanted to skip certain parts because I don't want to go into that, and I'm probably going to change a lot of that and kind of use some different words. I was just being, maybe I shouldn't, maybe I just should be wrong, but I'll decide later on. But I want you guys to enjoy while you're listening. I hope you guys want any questions answered. This is a good story, and I'm not just saying it because I wrote it, and I said that before, and I'm going to say it again. It is a good story. You're going to want this book, okay? I promise you, okay? So we shall return.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have arrived in Philadelphia. Local time is 3:05 p.m., and the temperature is 67 degrees. At this time, you are now free to use your cellular devices.
You know that feeling when you get to turn your phone on after the plane lands? You can have that feeling every time you drive. Make sure your cell phone is stowed away whenever you are behind the wheel.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
So, basically, it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference.
Well, right now, saving seems hard to wrap my head around. Plus, with the way this year's been going.
Hey, listen, it's okay. You still got this. Just go to aceyourretirement.org. It's an online tool from AARP that can help you get your retirement savings on track no matter your age. It's free and only like 3 minutes.
I like 3 minutes.
Yeah, at aceyourretirement.org, you'll chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach. Just answer a few questions and you'll get a personalized plan and tips to help boost your retirement savings. Tips that are easy to understand and tailored to your lifestyle.
I like that too.
Plus, it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back. Just head to aceyourretirement.org and make your plan to start saving for retirement.
Thanks.
That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance. Say hi, guys. When I adopted them, I discovered that they both have incredible personalities. Chance's sole purpose in life is to love and to be loved. Frankie is a little bit of a scoundrel and always entertaining. They're a little bit of a lot of things, but they're all pure love. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
All right, you guys, we are back here on YCCMW 2020. If I didn't say it before, I'm going to say it now. You can check us out on our Facebook page, You Can't Clip My Wings. You can also go to our website at youcan'tclipmywings.com. You can also call in at 563-999-3576. That's 563-999-3576. Definitely, definitely hang out with us tonight. It's Friday, and I know Halloween is on the 31st, which is Sunday, okay? We're going to move forward with the story. As you know, now she is in a full-fledged having an affair with a married man. Let's just say it like it is. That's what's happening here. Katie is in, and she's on this cloud right now, and she's trying to keep her bearings, but it's kind of hard, okay? All right, this chapter is called Sunday Serving and Sunday Sermon. And, oh, I did have another one. Sunday Sermon, and the last one is Sunday Surprise. And I think this one is kind of crunchy. So we're going to go ahead and get started. Like I said, Katie's in a situation where she is already crossed the line, to be honest with you. She's already crossed the line, not judging, just saying. And now this is how it's got to play out, okay? Okay, so here we go. Sunday sermon. Reverend Garten was fixing his tie as he donned his long black robe with its red satin sash. He had a well-built body for a 55-year-old. He made sure he kept his body fit and ready for anything, from rock climbing to swimming 100 laps in the pool. Keeping fit was part of their creed to being a mighty man of the ministries. Reverend Garten looked over his sermon again. As Maggie walked in, his eyes went straight to her huge breast. Maggie was a walking book of elegance from her hair to her toes. She walked with confidence and she knew how to play her part. Elmer realized a long time ago that he had to be careful never to cross her in any way. He knew she had friends in high places that would do anything for her. "Hey, sweetie, looks like another full house, but ushers are starting to place people in the balcony." "Is that a good thing?" he said, smiling. "Yes, sweetie, it's a good thing. After church, I'm going to take the youth to dinner. Is that all right?" "Sure, just make sure that they have permission slips, the buses are gassed up, and almost make sure the insurance and driver's license of the drivers have been logged in. As a matter of fact, I will get one of the deacons to take care of that for you." "Great. Well, I guess it's that time." Okay, so they about to go to the church house. He kissed her deep in the mouth and then lifted his elbow so she could slip her gloved hand in, and they walked out the office. The introduction music played as everyone settled in their seats. It never got old. Garten always had nervousness in his stomach each and every time he walked on the stage to his pulpit. As the choir bellowed out song after song, Garten looked around in the audience. So many beautiful people. So many beautiful, sexy black sisters, big breasts, wide hips, long and short, sexy legs, and high heel stilettos and all that ass. Damn. He felt proud of himself. "Thank goodness for this robe," he said. After the prayer, when he stood up, so did the people. He motioned for them to sit down obediently. They did. "Greetings, saints and sinners. It's good to be in the house of the Lord on this glorious day." "I said, it is good to be in the house of the Lord on this glorious day." Everyone said, "Amen." "As usual, our choir has lifted our spirits with those beautiful numbers. Our choir will be going into the studio next month to start on their new album." The congregation burst out with cheers. "Isn't God good?" There was a collective yes from the congregation. "Before I go into my sermon today, I would like everyone to tell the First Lady of the church, good morning." They all said good morning to the First Lady. Maggie smiled and waved at them. As the congregation calmed down, Garten asked them to open their Bibles to the book of Mark, Mark 14:32. They went to a place called Gethsemane. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "Why, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." As you know, this is where Jesus knew his time was up. How would you feel if you were told that your time was up? Would you cry? Would you be sad? Or would you rejoice? I don't know about you guys, but I think I would be kind of upset. Hold up. Don't get me wrong. I'm ready to go if that's the will of the Lord. But again, I don't know. No, all kidding aside, Jesus was about to be crucified. And I wonder, did he really know what he was getting into? I guess he did, because he had second thoughts only for a moment. That is what he said. That is why he said that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet, not what I will, but what you will. Knowing he had to obey his Father in the worst way. Now think about it. If your Father came to you and said, okay, son, I need for you to die for the sins of the world, could you really just say, okay, Dad, I will do it? Now wait, even if it was God, I don't know. The congregation burst into laughter. I would have to look at, what am I leaving behind? My friends, my sisters, my brothers, maybe a girlfriend? Yes, for sure, would have been a second thought. I would have probably said, Dad, can you give me a couple of days to think about this? Garten laughed along with the congregation. But seriously, Jesus wanted to do two things for sure. One, he wanted to please his Father, and two, he wanted to obey his Father. Those two things in mind, Jesus made his choice. Do you believe you could have done the same? Deep in your heart, do you think you could have sacrificed yourself for all these people in here? Asked, waving his hand around the room. Believe me, Jesus had to self-assure himself, not because he was about to go against the word of his Father, but because he really understood what was about to happen to him. It was something that was good for the world. Do you think Jesus regrets sacrificing himself for you and me? Were we really worth it? And all our filthiness and mean ways, our murderous thoughts, the skeletons in our closet, do you really think he wanted to be crucified on a cross after being beaten, spit upon, nails in hand and feet? Do you really think this was all in vain? What about how God felt after sacrificing his Son for you heathens, thieves, liars, whoremongers? Do you think he looks down on us and shakes his head at what he let his Son die for? I see it's time to go, but I want to leave you with this. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Do you feel guilty that maybe he died in vain? Garten came down out of the pulpit as the ushers brought the chairs out front. The deacons stood in the front with their arms out, indicating there is a seat for you to change your life. The invitation music played. I'm not going to keep you from going to visit. Go eat out with the family. But before you go, I want to ask you to ask yourself, was it worth it? Do you feel that God sacrificing his only begotten Son so that you can live free of sin? Do you feel that you have let him down, disappointed him? Well, this is the time that whatever you feel guilty of, you can ask God to forgive you and receive the spirit of joy that has been escaping you in every aspect of your life. Will you come? The music plays another chorus and the choir joins us. People start to walk forward toward the chairs and filling them up, the front porch portion of the stage. Wow. So he did a little sermon. That's Garten right there, okay? Garten got the sermon out, okay? And then after he got the sermon out, he definitely told them to come. Think about the idea. Now, Let's keep in mind, not to get off subject, but Jesus rose again on the third day. He laid down on the third day, he rose again. But at that very moment, he had to make a decision, okay? Even though he rose again, was it all worth it? That's what he wanted to find that answer out. Was it all worth it? All the craziness we do, was it worth it? And could you do it? All right, we're going to take a little break here. And we shall return.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes, their age, the way they speak? Would you notice the 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs
and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner?
Or a 14-year-old girl who signs up to every after-school activity not to make friends, but just to get something to eat? Or a retiree who fell ill and had
to choose between getting medicine or groceries?
I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hungered in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
If you came across someone struggling...
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back. We are back. Give me a second here. Excuse me. I want to make sure I got what I need. All right, so we just heard the pastor talk, and this was Pastor Minister, Garden. Okay, his name is actually Garden, like the Garden of Eden. That's what his name is, but I like to say God, okay? He preached his sermon. He did his invitation. So let's go a little bit further, see what's going on here on the Sunday Surprise, okay? Let's see here. I'm going to do something else, too. Let me see if I can bring something else. Okay, so I think... Do I have enough time? I think I do. Okay, here we go. It's bothering me. Okay, here we go. All right, here we go. Sunday Surprise. Garden was in his office when a couple of his deacons came in. Man, that was a great sermon. Yes, it was, Reverend. They both stood there looking at one another. Thank you. Is there something wrong, fellas? Not really. We don't know how to tell you this, but first, we don't want to sound like we're gossiping. Garden automatically thought someone had seen him with either the youth director or Doretha. His heart sank to his belly. Trying not to look guilty, he asked, "Well, what is it?" They both again looked at each other. "You know what? Never mind, Reverend. You have enough to worry about. We're very sorry to bother you. It's getting late, and I know you have to get home. Now, you know, if you ever wanted to tell me, I'm right here anytime." They both nodded their heads and walked out the door. Obviously, they were scared to talk to him for some reason, whatever this is, okay? Because it started out talking about some gossip, okay? Gordon thought to himself, "I wonder what was that all about? Oh, well." He went to leave the room when Doretha came out of the bathroom, only dressed in a piece of lingerie. garden jumped.
What the hell?
Did I scare you? When she finally... Okay. Hold up, y'all. Hold up, y'all. Hold up, y'all. Uh-oh. Y'all, I'm kind of a little frazzled here. Oh, I see it. I see it. I almost got frazzled for a moment here. Okay. Let's see here. Got something out of place. Yeah. That's what it is. I'm sorry. I have some numbers out of place here. I'm going to make sure I'm doing this right. Okay. You damn right you did. Garden was staring at her peekaboo outfit she had on. Dorita's dark brown, okay, she had some fancy stuff on. Now take this now. They in church. They just got through having good church. I don't know where the lady of the church is, the mother of the church is, but Dorita's kind of bold here, okay? I'm just going to leave it like that. She says to him, or she asks him, you got about 10 minutes, right? Now, she's asking him this while she's unzipping his pants. You sure everyone's gone? He asks through his deep breath as he pulls. Okay. I don't care if they are gone or not. They aren't coming back here anyway. Now, quit asking questions and put that. Dorita, okay, that's enough. I ain't going there. Garden leaned back against his desk and let her do her thing. Okay, I'm going to skip that part. All right, we got that out for us. Okay, the next part is called Surprise, Surprise, Surprise. Maggie and the head of the deacon board was making sure that the buses were cleaned off and that they were put back properly. Maggie was walking toward the garage when Deacon Conrad came up behind her. I just need to make sure that the office is locked up. The transportation office, which was like a 5-minute walk from the parking lot. She was trying to make sure everything was locked up. So she decides to walk with him. They made it to the office and Conrad couldn't keep his hands off of her. He set her on the desk and pulled her DK dress. Her body was hot and he went straight for her panties. He pulled them down and started whatever. Maggie needed this from him. Deacon Conrad and Maggie had been keeping this sex-filled affair secret going on for a year now. Now, wait a minute. The mother of the church? Oh, my God, these people are weird, man. Golly. Well, Conrad was, okay. She squeezed his head so tight with her strong thighs. Okay, so, you know, Conrad. Remember Deacon Conrad, y'all. Okay, when you go to read the story, make sure you look at that. When she finally, okay, he pulled her dress down. Okay, why didn't you do that when we were eating this? Okay, forget that. I'm sorry. I will be back in town on next Friday. I have to check on my stores. She smiled as she fixed her hair and refreshed her makeup and straightened her clothes. That's good. I will see you then, she told him. He grabbed her and kissed her deeply, sticking his cool tongue down her throat. She could taste. Okay. Maggie drove home happy. She squirmed in her seat. The feel of Conrad. Okay. I'm going to leave that alone. All right. We almost at the end, y'all. Do the righteous thing is this next chapter. Pastor Downing phone rang. Pastor Downing here. Hey, Pastor, it's Leroy Stone. Hey, Councilman, how's everything going? It's going all right, but I need a little help. There is some trouble in my area with some females. Like what, man? Well, they threatened to go to my wife. And right now, I don't need that. I need some spiritual persuasion. I'll see what I can do. Call this number, tell them who sent you, and then call me back. Downey gave him the number. About 20 minutes later, the councilman called back. Okay, man, I will call you when everything is taken care of. You just relax. Everything is going to be fine. I know I could count on you. God bless you. I will be waiting for your call. All right, man. Downey walked into the huge kitchen where he found his wife sitting at the breakfast bar reading a magazine. Helena was short. She reminded him of Nia Long. He secretly loved Nia Long, so he made sure he married someone who looked like her. She smiled up at him. Helena, you got 10 minutes? If it isn't about giving me some of that hanging between your legs, I have no time for you. I would like to talk to you about your credit cards. I will be canceling 3 of them. I already paid them off. Helena, we are about to build another closet in that downstairs den for all your new things you keep buying. So I think it's time to put a stop to it. I will advise you to see a psychiatrist. What in the hell did you say? I said, I need for you to see a psychiatrist. Helena turned around looking up at him, her big hazel eyes with her hands on her hips. Oh, really? I need to see a psychiatrist. Well, if my fucking husband would spend more time with me, then maybe I wouldn't find other things to occupy my time. When you're not playing church, you're at church. If you're not at church, you're at someone else's church. You find ways to avoid the ideal that I want another child. Every month you take off for 2 and 3 days at a time with your secret group. The only thing you do give me is your card. And now you want to take them away? Am I costing you too much? Helena is now hollering at the top of her voice. Half the time when you're here, you're in your office and you don't want to be bothered. You don't even seem to want me to touch. You want to touch me like you used to. I do all I can to make you want me. The tears started again. He opened the door to her feelings. Okay, I didn't mean to make you feel unwanted. You know that being a pastor, it does take a lot of time. And yes, blame me for giving you the cards, but not to keep you preoccupied. It's because I wanted you to be happy. He grabbed her and held her close with his chin on her head. He really did love her. She meant a lot to him. Hey, why don't we take off this weekend and get away? Would you like that? Just you and me and Jaden can go stay. Oh, just you and me. Jaden can go stay with Mama. Yes, I would like that. I will make some phone calls. I'm sorry, sweetie. I want to fit in with your friends, but because I'm not educated like them, I feel so out of place. My friends don't care about all of that. Some of those preachers wish they had a hot wife like you anyway, he said, laughing. I don't know about Maggie. I have nothing on her. She's beautiful, sexy, smart, and she runs her own business. Hold up. And you can do the same thing. Why don't I set up a luncheon date with you and her and see if she can help you? You would like that, wouldn't you? Like a little kid, she shook her head as she blew her nose in the tissue. Go upstairs, freshen up, and we can do lunch. Would you like that? Okay, so we see that it's always some stuff going on. Miss Helena, because I admitted that at the beginning, has some shopping issues, okay? She loves to shop. They're about to turn the den into another closet. Not build a whole other house, but turn a den into a closet. Can you imagine? Especially if you have a nice size den. Because of all her habitual shopping. So she does need to see a therapist or somebody to get it under control. But you got to remember, when you create a monster, you got to deal with that monster. He claims he gave it to her to make her happy. She sees it as he using it as to preoccupy her so he can do his thing. Okay? Yeah, that's what happened. So we're going to stop right there on that story. I hate to do that to you guys. I really do. But this story is pretty good. This is a pretty good story. I hope I stopped at a good spot. If I didn't, oh, well. I mean, I'm not saying that in a way of being, I'm trying to get you to understand that if you remember this part, when this book comes out again, because it is going to come out again, it's going to be a little different, but it's going to have the same feel to it, okay? I'm going to slow it down a little bit. I have a habit of writing a story, and I'm getting to the nitty-gritty too quick. I go straight from the bread to the burping. You understand what I'm saying? After the dinner. And it needs to have a little bit more meat in the inside, in between the bread, okay? So I'm going to work on that story. Okay? So I just want y'all to understand that this story is a good story. It's got a lot going on. These people ain't playing. These ministers ain't playing. They are not playing at all. Okay? And they something else. But I think it would be hard to try to keep the house in order. Not only just the home in order, the house in order, church house in order. And then you're messing with everybody in the church. You're messing with the youth director. You're messing with your secretary. Now, this is what's crazy. Now, after church, the pastor goes to his office, and he got his secretary dressed in some lingerie with peekaboo panties on and all this. And he's taking care of business. And the question should be asked, where was Mama? Where was the mother of the church? Where was Miss Maggie? Miss Maggie must have already left. Oh, we know where Miss Maggie was. Miss Maggie left to take the kids to dinner, the youth to dinner. And then she and the head deacon is messing around. Come on now. Come on, y'all. Come on. That's too much. The head deacon messing around with the mother of the church. So everybody got their hands and pants down. Let's just say it like it is. Everybody got their hands and the pants down all over the place. Like, what the hell going on here? Now, I'm curious about those two deacons that came in the deacon's office, in the pastor's office, and wanted to talk about some gossip that was going around. What y'all think the gossip is? I don't know. But whatever it is, it quickly got dismissed for some reason. I don't know what happened. So if you want to hear more of this story, y'all, you definitely got to wait till the story comes out again, because I am going to rewrite it. I'm going to add some more in it. Definitely going to do that.
I'm going to go straight to hell when you do that.
Y'all, if you heard that voice, that's the husband talking in the background. Wait a minute, you guys. Hold 1 second. We got 5 more minutes. Let me knock something out to you. Give me a second here. Let me see if I can do this. I might not. Got one more. I'm just going to give you one more part. Yeah, let me do this real quick. If She Finds Out is the name of this one. Doretha walked into the room without knocking, and there he was in strong, smooth. Oh, never mind. We'll wait. Maybe I'll do this one tomorrow night. Maybe. I'm not for sure. But if you guys want to hear more of the story, you guys, let me tell you this, what you're going to have to do, you're going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait till I republish it, because I'm going to have to republish this. But definitely take time out. YCCMW2020. You can't clip my wings. .com. Check that out. And you can catch us on Facebook, you guys. Okay. I just want to let you know that. Right. Okay. So it is Friday night. And I want you guys to enjoy yourself. Don't do nothing crazy. Okay. And it's only 9:25, so you got time if you want to go somewhere and have a good time and come on back. Don't get drunk and drive, okay? Be careful. who you hang out with. Pay attention to where you're going. All right? All right? So I'm going to go ahead and roll out. And I want y'all to have a safe weekend. Watch the babies, Candace. Make sure anybody trying to kill your baby, okay? Check every bit of their candies. Make sure ain't nothing in their candies, Lord. Pay attention to everything they doing. If you're out there, put your cell phones up. Pay attention to the kids, all right? If you're driving, pay attention to the kids, especially when you're in the neighborhood, okay? Just letting you know. All right. You guys have a great night. See you guys later. Bye-bye.